In preparing for today's message, I was thinking back to one of the subjects I really enjoy, which is history, and like the history of the universe kind of history, so going way, way back. And what came to mind as a subject was the idea of what are some of the great calamities that have happened in the past? And I came upon a couple of graphics, and again, the first one is on the first page. And that's right, the second one's on the second page. The first set of calamities that are discussed here are based on what science has found through archaeological evidence. But what they have found is that there's been five different periods, five different times in the last, we'll say, 500 or 600 million years, where all life on Earth almost got eliminated. Again, this doesn't have to do with mankind, because mankind hasn't been on Earth for that long. Mankind has only been on Earth for, you know, a relatively short period of time. But scientists have been able to look back and find out that, again, at the top of the top graph shows 600 million years, and here's today. And what it shows is numbers from 1 to 5 or 1 to 6, showing some of the great mass extinctions that have happened in the, on planet Earth. So going back about 450 million years ago is the first one, where it says that 85% of all living organisms were wiped out. Almost 100%, 85%. And what the graphic shows is that, you know, what happened? Glaciation. So glaciers started to cover the Earth, followed by a rebound of greenhouse climate. So that combination of cold and then the greenhouse climate started to, it was just too much for a lot of life forms to adapt to, and 85% of life was wiped out at that period of time. And it shows some of the hard-hit groups, which were mostly, you know, things that would exist in the ocean. So you see things like trilobites. And I think as a child, in Napanee, we have limestone rock quarries. And I remember as a child, you know, peeling open pieces of limestone and seeing trilobites in the limestone. And as an adult, I keep kicking myself because I would love to have rocks that have an actual fossil in it. And it'd be interesting to know kind of how old that trilobite is, because in the hundreds of millions of years here, we see there's a few times where trilobites happen to be challenged. So again, interestingly, each of these periods where there's a great loss of life also correspond to how scientists determine the different eras of the past, because with the end of each era, new life forms are become prominent. So in the second event that happened, a near extinction event, it says that 70% of all marine species were lost. What happened back then? So again, this would have been just about 375 million years ago. It says that a lack of oxygen in the oceans, rising sea levels, and global cooling. And again, the hardest hit groups were things like the reef environment, so all the coral reefs and some of the different other life forms. And it says, trilobites again. And then at the end of another geological period, what happened, so this would be about 250 million years ago, it says that 96% of all species were lost. So again, only 4% of the different species that existed on Earth survived to go on to the next geological period. What happened? Extremely dry, hot conditions. So again, early on it was glaciers. Now it was extremely hot conditions that led to animal and plant decimation or decline. And it talks about rising temperatures and lower oxygen levels. And it took 10 to 20 million years for life to recover diversity after this event. And again, at the end of the Triassic period, which would be about 200 million years ago, what happened? Extreme volcanic activity, which would eventually break apart the supercontinent of Pangaea. So at this time, the continents were all still one big blob. And at the end of that period, again, talks about 76% of all species were lost. So 75%, 3 out of 4 species were lost at that time, and it gives some examples of what they looked like in the hard-hit groups. And then the last of these events was less than maybe 75 million years ago. And people tend to be familiar with this one, where at the end of the Cretaceous period, after millions of years of animal and plant decline due to dropping sea levels and intensifying volcanic activity, which caused acid rain and caused temperatures, a gigantic asteroid struck the Earth, causing further devastation. So this was that giant asteroid that hit the Earth. They figure it was somewhere, I guess, in the Mexico area. And that asteroid led to the extinction of the dinosaurs, for example. So dinosaurs were a hard-hit group. And again, it lists some of the other hard-hit groups, but it says 70% of species were lost again. So again, dinosaurs didn't continue on after that event occurred. And again, because this is done by a World Science Festival, they talk about a potential sixth devastating event, and that they call happening starting about 10,000 years ago, and that's mankind. And so even though in the early days mankind wasn't necessarily all that dangerous, it shows some of the hard-hit groups at the bottom here, where mankind has hunted them to extinction, things like the passenger pigeon and the mammoths and the the dodo bird, examples where mankind has had a devastating effect on certain species. And so again, it has question marks because we don't know how devastating mankind is going to be to the rest of the world. So I thought that was interesting, a bit of history that talks about periods of time that kind of cause one set of life to stop and other sets of life to take over and become more prominent. And some would say that as part of God's plan, that things that the earth needed were supplied by that group of creatures. Now we need to change the earth to accommodate another set of creatures that would, again, make life possible for mankind. On the second page, the interesting devastation it talks about there is some of the diseases that have ripped through society, and gives a definition of a pandemic, where it says it's derived from the word pandemos, meaning pertaining to all people. A pandemic is a widespread disease that affects humans over wide geographic areas. So again, the earlier disasters affected other life forms, but not necessarily humans. These pandemics affect humans, and we have examples where, starting in the on the left side, it talks about measles and how, from the 7th century until modern times, over 200 million people have been killed by measles. And smallpox, it goes back to, we'll say, the beginning of humans to today, and it says that more than 300 million people have been killed by this. HIV is relatively new, and it talks about more than 25 million people have been killed by that disease. The plague of Justinian, another 25 million. The Spanish flu, from 50 to 100 million people. And that's, again, in the years 1918 to 1919. And you can imagine living in a society, or living in a world, or living at a time when people are dying all around you from disease epidemics. And again, we have the benefit of Scripture. We have the benefit of Scripture But some of those scriptural warnings are pretty scary, talking about disease epidemics that will wipe out a third of the population. And so when people were alive at a time when people were dying all around, they would be turning to God, thinking that this must be the end time. Things can't get any worse than this. It's interesting, we have the example of the Black Death, where 75 million people were killed. And again, I won't go into detail to describe, how horrible some of these deaths were, but you could just imagine living in a world where there's pestilence that's wiping out, your children, your neighbors, your co-workers, and how terrifying that would be. On the side, it has honorable mention for diseases like malaria and tuberculosis and yellow fever. And again, those diseases also have devastated millions of people. So by now you're thinking, that's not a very positive word of encouragement, Jim. And so what I wanted to close with is three scriptures that I find perhaps the most encouraging scriptures in helping to deal with the world we live in. So again, the world we've lived in through history, which have had these devastating plagues and diseases, these devastating outcomes, up to the world that we look forward to in the next few years, where we anticipate things to be quite bad. So the first scripture, and again, just before I cover that scripture, I did have a definition there that I thought was interesting. It was a word I didn't know existed. And the word is omnicide. And the definition is human extinction as a result of human action. So there's a word that talks about mankind being able to wipe himself out. And that was appropriate for the first scripture that I'd chosen, which is Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. I'm not sure if many of you have ever encountered that scripture, but those in the Church of God tradition will have heard it about four times in every half-hour broadcast to the public. And it's Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he provides them with what I find a powerful word of encouragement and a word of comfort, where he says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has never been since the beginning of the world. Until this time, no nor ever shall be." So there's been some horrible things that have happened in the past. Christ is saying there's still going to be something happening in the future that's going to be worse than anything that's ever happened in the world. As he says, great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So we have this powerful word of encouragement that says mankind is not going to wipe himself out. And so when we hear about these disease epidemics, and some of them are diseases that mankind has created, diseases that are artificially created in a test tube and then released, man has the technology and the ability to even manipulate organisms, viruses, and things like that to create these horrible diseases. And then when man does that, then they start to stockpile it, and then they weaponize it. And so what Christ is saying is that mankind is not going to intentionally or by accident destroy himself, because Christ will intervene. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So those are some of the most powerful, comforting words that we can hear from the Son of God. It was interesting. I made a reference to Revelation 8:11, because there it's talking about an asteroid hitting the earth. The asteroid has a name, Wormwood, and it talks about devastating a third of the waters, whether it's the seas or the lakes or rivers. That's part of what's prophesied in a future event. So it's kind of interesting. Mankind has scientists that are using telescopes and looking, all corners of the Earth, we'll say, even though the Earth is round. But they're looking to see, is there going to be an asteroid out there that's going to hit the Earth and destroy us? And at this point, we're not aware of any asteroids that are going to destroy the Earth. But it could happen where one freak asteroid, one piece of space junk that's out there, could slam into the Earth and devastate the Earth. We know from Scripture that an asteroid called Wormwood is going to devastate. And again, that's something that's future. It's not going to destroy the Earth. It's not going to destroy 100% of the humans on the Earth, but it's going to destroy a third of the waters on the Earth. And although it's a devastation that's happening, it's a comfort to have a God that can tell us ahead of time exactly what's going to happen, so that when it happens, when it occurs, we can take comfort that God is in control. A second encouraging verse for a word of encouragement was Job 14:14, where he says, "If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. You shall call and I will answer you, and you shall desire the work of your hands." The reason I find this particularly encouraging is it talks about God's plan. That God has a plan for us, and he will reach out to mankind and will save mankind. So no matter what goofy things we see on the news and hear on the news, what crazy things mankind is doing to potentially destroy himself, we understand that God created mankind and he loves mankind. And eventually, he has a plan where he's going to reach out to his creation. And the third verse in the word of encouragement comes from the Psalms. And again, there's so many in the Psalms that I could have harvested verses from. But I chose Psalm 46:1, where it says, "God is our strength, our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble." So, although we don't always have communication with God, we're not necessarily thinking about God all of the time. He is ever-present. And so it's not a case that we can only turn to God when we go to our prayer closet and pray to him. He's available all the time because he is ever-present and he's ever with us. And so when devastation is happening around us, we can take comfort in the words here that God is our refuge and strength. It's in God that we trust, and it's in God that we hold our confidence. And God is our refuge and strength, and he's an ever-present help in trouble.